Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can find me over on Rose Pricks, The Bachelor Roast, and here I am with Mr. Ben Mandelker. Ben is also on the Game Brain podcast and a cartoon called The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which you can find on YouTube, so go find it. Hi, beautiful man.
Hi, Rondell. How are you?
Good. How's everything going over there?
It's going pretty well, Just another day inside. I'm enjoying my self-quarantine. I'm built for quarantine. This is like, I never thought I'd be built for quarantine, but I'm built for it. I'm very happy.
I'm going to have to cut me out of this damn house, that's for sure.
Now, by the way, speaking of quarantine, did you hear the latest Bravo news that's related to this whole pandemic?
I sure did not.
Sheree Whitfield has COVID-19.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, listen, coronavirus gods, do not treat our Sheree carefully, okay? Because I want her to make a comeback on, like, I want her to make her third or fourth comeback on Atlanta, okay? This is very important for me.
Yeah, poor Sheree. I'm sorry, Sheree Ray. Love you.
Poor Sheree. And Portia, speaking of poor Sheree, you can't say poor Sheree without Portia. Portia was also arrested yesterday because she was protesting in Louisville.
Yes, for, we stand with the arrest Portia. Of Breonna
Davis. We totally stand with Portia and all. I personally, I'm not going to speak for you, but I personally stand with all those protesters that want the rest for the kids.
Oh, yes, Breonna. Oh, my God. That's a travesty.
Yes.
So, yes, we stand with you. Good for you, Portia. And bad for you, Sheree, but we stand with you, too.
Yeah, bad for you, but, like, we feel bad for you and feel better. Feel better, Sheree. Get some rest.
Yeah, Sheree. Okay, so let's start off with some small business shout-outs, shall we? Today,
yeah, let's do it.
We've got a business from Amy. Her business is called Successful, Single, and Not Willing to Settle. Guy?
Oh, yeah.
They are dating coaches, and they show amazing women how to find their perfect match by embracing and showcasing their authenticity. They have a podcast, Successful, Single, and Not Willing to Settle, the podcast. And you can find all of their shows at SuccessfulSingleFemale.com. SuccessfulSingleFemale.com. So check it out. Thanks, Amy.
Ramona Singer, you better get on that. That sounds like it's right up the alley for Ramona. Whoa, I'm successful, single, and I'm not willing to settle, okay? I've got one of our longtime listeners, Candace. She has sent us a black-owned business. So please turn your attention, everyone, to Jewelry by Justine. It's a black-owned jewelry business that offers jewelry designed by Candace's friend Justine, who Candace describes as a strong, beautiful black woman that was born and raised in Hawaii. So whether you're looking for a golden pineapple, monstera leaf, shark tooth, evil eye, or medallion that just says aloha, okay? I added the okay part, but something that says aloha, Justine has you covered. And if one isn't enough, pick a few pieces and do the layered effect, making a statement necklace that would certainly make a certain cabaret star green with envy, except my color is blue. Ha! Anyway, go check out Justine's jewelry. She is on Instagram, Jewelry by Justine, all one word. Don't put any periods in there, okay? Because there's a cheetah brand that has the periods, okay? Jewelry by Justine. Go check it out on Instagram. Thanks, Candace.
And you can see us today as well as hear us because this is a video on Crappens On Demand. So hi out there. Next week, next Friday night, not this Friday night, but next Friday night, we're going to do a live Real Housewives of New York recap. So check that out. We'll do our pre-show on Instagram as usual, and then for like half an hour, and then we'll jump over onto Patreon, Crappens On Demand, to do our live show. Now today, guess what? It's crazy. What? It's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Whoa, and Kyle so Richards funny. Decided to throw a party. It's nuts. Whoa, it's absolutely crazy, okay?
Let's just recap Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but use New York voices the entire time. Kyle was like, wow. Wow, Denise, wow.
You're an asshole on Twitter, okay? So I'm saying, right? I don't want to beef right now, but on Twitter, you're an asshole.
Sorry, okay? Sorry.
Would you believe it, girls? I just donated $25,000. Me, Kris Jenner.
So this is a very special episode of Beverly Hills because it's the return of some OGs.
also known as Kyle Richards' latest passive-aggressive attempt to highlight the fact that Lisa Vanderpump is no longer with these women. I'm surprised Carlton wasn't at this party. I'm surprised Joyce wasn't at the party. I'm surprised Catherine wasn't there. I mean, the list could go on.
No, those are a bunch of also-rans. Those are a bunch of also-rans. These are, like, real OGs. I mean, Eileen's not an OG, but she was there for, what, 3 years?
You beast. Two seasons.
Two.
What about beast. Yolanda? Yolanda's sort of OG-ish. What about Taylor? Taylor is actually OG.
That's true, but Taylor's a damn mess. Nobody's going to let Taylor around.
I think the last time we saw Taylor was at a Vanderpump party, right? Didn't Lisa Vanderpump invite Taylor to something, and Taylor was like
yeah, falling over? She came right for somebody. Wasn't it Lisa Rinna she came for? She's like, well, probably. Guess what I heard about that bitch saying. Okay, so we start this with Kyle arriving somewhere in her stupid new little stupid red car.
Stupid, stupid red car. It's like, it made me so mad. Of course, she would show up in a tiny little red convertible sports car, sort of like reminiscent of, you know, that Prince song, which I'm suddenly forgetting. Little red Corvette. Yeah, way to ruin Prince's legacy, Kyle. Of course she would do that. She's like, oh my God, I got a little red Corvette. Even though, yes, it was not a Corvette. But she probably thought it was a Corvette, in fact. She's like, oh my God, guys, I got a little red Corvette, just like Prince. Like, Kyle, it's not a Corvette.
Yeah.
I'm creating a narrative. I'm creating a narrative for myself that I really like.
And she shows up in this little Santa Fe sweater, which is like hippie and like peaceful, and then her like really expensive yes. Corvette. I don't know. Kyle's a conundrum, okay? She's also wearing a big stupid hat, okay? Kyle sucks.
Yeah, I actually liked the sweater, and then I got mad that she was wearing something that I liked. I was like, fuck you, Kyle. Why are you wearing something that I enjoy?
You're supposed to be wearing terrible
clothes at all times.
Yeah.
And she's still wearing... Her bangs are, by the way... Okay, the bangs are out of control. Halloween is done. She's wrapped. Why are the bangs still there? Why, Kyle? Okay, you can't blame this on Michael Myers anymore.
Well, everyone... Did you know that everyone... Hey, everyone. Did you know that Halloween was canceled? It was postponed until 2021. It was supposed to come out in October, but now it's going to come out next October. Whoa. Wow. And people are like, ha ha, karma to Kyle. But no, this just means that next season, now we get to hear Kyle talk about Halloween again. She's probably going to get bangs for the fucking Halloween premiere. And we're just going to be stuck with Kyle reshoots. Bangs forever.
She's going to have to keep. She's going to have to stay in her bangs just in case they call her in for reshoots. That's going to be her excuse.
Yeah. So she shows up at what we find out is Camille's new house. And Camille's like, hi, welcome to my home. Welcome, Kyle. And Kyle just stands at the door with these humongous sunglasses just staring at her like,
hi.
This is an apology meeting you made me drive an hour and a half for, so...
Yeah, she's just pissed at the producers that the producers arranged this, you know? So basically, it's like very cold. And of course, Kimber is there. Kimber is just everywhere at all times. If Camille is there, Kimber is somewhere nearby. So Kimber is there just
the
like...
The new Dee Dee.
Yeah, she is the new Dee Dee. She's just like arranging brooms in the corner or something. Just Kimber.
Mm-hmm. Dumbo.
Sorry, I stopped in the middle of your drink, and I saw you drinking.
You sounded like you were just going to go to town on Kimber. I was like, can't wait to hear it.
I thought Kimber arranging brooms in the corner was, like, more than enough.
No, I was like, you go off. Personally, I don't go off on people who do things like get you water or clean. Like, those people are saints to me.
No, I'm not going off on her. I was amazed by how truly servile Kimber was in this episode, because we know that she's like Camille's best friend, but in this episode she was actually acting like a bartender in Camille's house. Like,
yeah, she's her friend ploy. That's the only kind of friend Camille has. Camille doesn't have friends that she's like, do you want to have lunch? She has friends that she's like, you want to make lunch? Like, make it right now. Make me lunch. Biatch.
So it was great to see Camille again and her craziness. And once again, she needs other people to do her sentences for her, because Kyle is like, oh, so this is the master? Okay,
the
master.
This is the master.
Okay, oh, it's a nice big open layout in here. Layout. No, it's beautiful.
Open.
It's the beach.
It's
wow,
open.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, this looks expensive. There's nice high ceilings.
There's sand. Wow, oh, sand. I tore out the ceiling. It's like fucking Camille. Of course Camille goes into a new house, and she's like, guess what? I don't like that ceiling. Get rid of it. I hate ceilings.
Yeah, well, she is a groundbreaker. So Camille is like, yeah, David and I have definitely been living it up out here, and I just love looking at the seals. I just stare. And I'm like, how many hours has Camille dedicated to just sitting in a window staring at seals? Just like blank-faced.
Trying to get them to bring her a glass of water, you know? It's like, come on, seal. I love seeing seals. They remind me of Kelsey, but I don't have to shave their back three times a day, so that's good. Camper will get you some water, Camper.
Apparently, if you stare long enough, you'll get a kiss from a rose.
So Kyle's like, I haven't spoken. Okay, Camille has one eye that's Botox closed, and Kyle also has one eye that's Botox closed. And before anybody comes after me with this fake disease that Kyle has, it gives her one half-closed eyes, cut that shit out, because that shit happened a long time ago, and it's called Botox, okay? I don't even want to hear it in my comments.
Wait, I didn't even know about this. I know Brandy had a thing that happened with Botox where she now, like, can't move half her face, but what happened with Kyle and her...
It's just she has Botox eye. When you get too much Botox, you get the veins that pop out right here and then down the center of your forehead. And then you do it too much, and I think they miss aim or something, or I don't know. That's just poison, okay? Like, paralyzed her eyes. Anyway, last year she had something where she was like, oh, the reason I have one of my eyes is half closed, and it's because of some horrible disease. Everybody on Twitter stopped being mean to me. And I was like, this has been since season one. Do you need me to rewind? Yeah. Okay.
Michael Myers did it. Michael Myers gave her a disease.
Well, that said, I approve of Botox. It's just calm it down, you know. When you're getting to the point where one of your eyes is constantly fluttered closed, like Camille and Kyle, it's time to stop, okay? You need depth perception, guys.
No, Kyle's eye was fluttering because she realized that Camille's house was prettier and had beachside view and had seals, and the jealousy was just coursing through her, you know, nervous system.
So they're going to catch up. She's like, I haven't spoken to Camille in months since she basically alienated every single person that we know.
Oh, is that when she reacted because you guys went to her wedding and then shit-talked her the entire time and then got mad at her because she gave a polite interview in People magazine? Is that what happened when she alienated you guys? Yes,
that's what happened. Thank you. I forgot that that's what it was. That Kyle gave an interview in People magazine and said she still Camille loves did, Lisa yeah. Vanderpump. Yeah, Camille did.
Yeah.
And everybody got mad that she went to the press and said that she still liked Vanderpump. This cast.
Yeah, it was just so... And then they got so mad and mad, like, well, Camille, why would you be so fake? Why would you be so fake? And then they wanted to confront her, but then her house burned down, so then they had to wait. And then
no,
finally,
they did anyway, remember? Rita
well, they
did it that
waited
restaurant.
A little bit. They waited a little bit, and then they ambushed her, and she's like, oh, it's been so hard. I had to go to a flea market and buy myself a rag to sleep in, and I don't know, it's been hard. What's on your mind, ladies? What's on your mind? They're like, well... You're two-faced, and we didn't like your interview in People magazine.
Yeah. She's like, but I had to go to a thrift store for a jacket. A thrift store for a jacket, guys. We see clips of that reunion where she's like, I can't say one nice thing about Lisa Vanderpump without the witches of Eastwick over there.
It was
coming
so good.
For me.
Camille was my champion, my crazy, crazy champion, my crazy disrobing champion on that reunion. So Camille reached out to Kyle the day before, and we see like a flashback of Kyle, and her bangs are like, have never been more intense than in this flashback. It's like the Winter Garden Theater, like the curtain was just down. I was like waiting for an overture to please rise them up out of her forehead.
Oh, that sad theater, the Winter Garden, that sad cats theater, girl.
She basically has a tire on her forehead, and I'm just waiting for it to, like, the smoke to rise from under it and, like, her bangs to go off into bang heaven.
She's the tire that Grisabella stands on.
She is. And then she gets mad at Grisabella, and then she wants to be Grisabella, but then by becoming Grisabella, there's no more tire, so she can't go up to the roof.
She tells everybody that Grisabella is just a good-for-nothing alcoholic, so she can try to be Grisabella.
And then she turns on Mr. Mistopheles.
Yeah. So let's see here. So
actually, more like Deuteronomy.
Oh, Deuteronomy. So yeah, we see this clip of Kyle looking at the phone. She's getting a call from Camille, and she's like, just, like, no one cares, Kyle. Okay, Mauricio's standing there, like, do I still have to stand here? can I leave now? No, stand right there.
Hey, Kyle, I put some cheese whiz in the pool light. Is that okay? I'm sure it won't be a problem later, right, Kyle?
So she tells us that she's a little taken aback. Oh, no, she tells Camille. She's like, you know, I'm a little taken aback to hear from you, Camille, but I'd like to hear what you have to say. So,
okay, drive 10 hours and we'll talk about it, Kyle. I ripped out a ceiling. You have to see it.
So Camille's like, I just want to know because I want to know what's going on because I haven't been around. So then Kyle takes like a very dramatic sip of water to be like, I'm angry. I'm Kyle Richardson. I'm angry. I'm the queen bee of this show now. And so Camille's like, I just want to say thank you so much. I want to say thank you for having, you know, because, you know, both of us have things that we want to get off our chest. And I mean, I don't know, the things that I want to get off my chest, I wish I knew how to articulate them. Maybe you could say them for me. That would probably help a little bit. What's on my mind?
Well, Kyle starts and she's like, well,
Kyle starts and she's just like, oh, sorry.
Kyle's like, well, we're just going to get right into it. And Camille does this thing instead of repeating words. She just goes, which is my favorite thing that anybody does. And she does it this whole time that Kyle's talking. So Kyle's like, well, if we're just going to get right into it. She's like, well, I just don't know where this anger comes from.
Camille is sitting there like she's in a Celestial Seasonings commercial, you know? She's got like her like leg up. It feels like her leg is up. She's taking the sun, like, and she's just like,
It's so great to share these things.
Well, those tweets. I mean, every time someone tweets something mean or hurtful, tweets, Kyle tweets. Yeah, and it's like if they say rude things, then you retweet them, and then you say rude things. Kyle. I don't know if you're noticing these sleeves, but they're both like dresses at a country fair. If you just stare at them, like, did you notice
basically,
her sleeves?
Yes. She's like, basically, I saw an old-timey phonogram, and I was like, I want to make a sleeve out of that. So here I am.
Yeah, she looked like a girl at a country fair, you know? Like, big ruffled sleeves, denim ruffled sleeves. And she's like,
giant daffodils.
Yeah, she's like, I was so angry with you girls. And she's like, and the tweet about Denise, how dare you come for Denise? It's like, Kyle, you're trying to ruin Denise's fucking life at the moment.
Okay? I know. Yeah, Kyle's like, you know, I just was confused by that. It just, like, made me not trust the things that came out of your mouth. Like, I'm all about honesty these days. I'm like, oh, yes, Kyle, the beacon of honesty, the most two-faced person on this show.
And we see the Camille tweet goes, that Camille...
That's fair. Well, country fair. I mean, I got the sleeves. I'm at country fair right now.
We see the tweet pop up on the screen, and it's, I was nice to Denise. She was a sloppy drunk part of the time. Ooh. Kyle, you said that about your own sister on camera, okay?
Yeah.
So what's the problem here?
Yeah. And so Kyle's like, I mean, you just say one thing to one person and then say one thing to someone else. And Camille's like, and you've never done that? It's like, exactly. Because exhibit A, every season of Real Housewives.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, I pretty much stick to how I feel. And that's what friends do. Are the lights turning on and off in here? Or, no, it's your eye, Kyle. Just put one hand over your eye. It feels better. Oh, you're right.
You ever wonder what it would look like if a seal got bangs? Just thinking out loud.
Yes, because one time I gave them to Kelsey when he was doing research on a roll with bangs. So
turns out he had a seal as a flight attendant. They got married.
RR, am I right? So she's like, well, I did feel like I was on the attack. Like, who's going to take their turn to go next to Camille? I mean, sometimes, Kyle, enough is enough, Kyle. I just lost my house. There's only so much one per a thrift store jacket, Kyle.
I had to deal with common people. And their leftover clothing. It wasn't right.
And she tells us, I feel like they were those witches in that play, Macbeth, stirring their cauldron and saying, we're together on this, and our common enemy is Camille.
You know that play? You know that Macbeth play? What's it called again? Kimber loves it. She says it's the most romantic thing she's ever seen.
And she just keeps stirring. Like, her interview's over, and she just keeps stirring.
Was anyone impressed that Camille brought in a Shakespearean reference, and it was, like, no, semi-accurate? Like,
Kelsey
that was a little
that
surprising.
Show. I think Kelsey did.
Oh, he did. Did Kelsey do it? Oh, he, even if he didn't do it, he probably walked around reciting monologues. Probably, I can imagine him on like a Saturday morning, walking around in his underwear, say, you know, like, bubble, toil and trouble around the kitchen. You're like, okay, Kelsey, we get it. You're an actor.
Toil salads and toils and bubbles. I'll say it again. Yeah, Kelsey Grammer did Macbeth in the year 2000. Okay. Macbeth will close just after 10 days on Broadway. Oops. Ill-received Broadway revival of Shakespeare's Macbeth starring Kelsey Grammer to close after 13 performances.
Well, they cast a seal as Lady Macbeth. It just wasn't going to work.
Well, that explains why Camille's bringing it up.
We also cast my old tennis instructor Nick as Duncan. So there were a lot of problems from the outset.
You know that old play, Kelsey's Greatest Failure in Life? You know that one?
Let's do some quotes from it.
Remember when Kimber played Benvolio? I'm not even sure if Benvolio was in that. I just like that they cast. I like the idea of like Kelsey and Camille doing a production of Macbeth starring all their friends and animals nearby.
So Camille is like, well, you know, because she's the Ramona of this show with the apologies. She's like,
well, I just want to say, Kyle, I'm putting both my country bumpkins on your knee right now. About those mean tweets, I was very upset, but that's no excuse, Kyle. It's not an excuse. And Kyle's like, oh, well, thanks. You know, we've been down this road before. We can get through it again. You know, how can I get a place to embarrass you on television in front of the entire... I mean... get you back together with the rest of the group.
How do I do that? Are you willing to go after Denise by any chance? Because I think we'd all really appreciate that. That you could do us a solid. And I like that Kyle goes, you know, you and I don't hold on to things. I mean, I know I don't. Sure, Kyle, absolutely not. I'm sure all those times you brought up like the list of things that Lisa Vanderpump did wrong to you, that was just for fun. You weren't really holding on to anything. And I'm sure you and Kim, years and years, that's all water under the bridge. You know, the stuff with the house and her acting career being so much more successful than yours. This is, you don't hold on to anything.
That's Kyle. So she's like, you know, I genuinely care for Camille. I mean, if she wants to fix things, she's going to have to do some work, though. And Camille's just like, she does this like... Chase, like, look to the side. I just love Camille. I miss Camille's posing and her terrible acting. I've missed it.
Yeah, she should be. I love her. Well, you're never going to survive unless you get a little crazy. That's a song by Seal. Thank you. He's right there.
Macbeth sang that.
It's from the show Macbeth. I don't know if you heard about it. The witches sing that song. It's wonderful.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Higher than high-res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't. Touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew Sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's Ferelio, it's Lindsay Ferelio.
Lourdes, the Lordess of the Rings.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coo.
Fuji.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
So now let's go to Santa Monica, because we're only shooting scenes where people have to drive a really long way to get there. Okay. This is not close.
Pretty much.
Rin is the one who has to drive like 2 hours to go do a scene. So they're at the penthouse, which is a very, very tall elevator. And Denise is there. And I love Denise's version of being a diva. It always cracks me up. She's like, do you have grapefruit? Do you have fresh juice? You got grapefruit juice. Is it ruby red? Is it ruby? I'll take that ruby red.
It's also the name of the hooker that I fed on Thanksgiving, Ruby Red. So it's just fond memories all around. And so Rinna comes and joins, and they're going to order fries. And she's like, you have fries? He's like, yeah, we do skinny fries or we do truffle fries. She goes, oh, well, I think I better do the skinny fries. I was like, I had this weird feeling that she thought that meant that they were like diet fries and not, and not just skinny shaped.
Well, it is bad branding because that is what they call skinny things. You know, skinny girl. Look, skinny girl. Guy. Bethany Frankel's tricking everybody.
Cheetah fry.
And I like that Rinna knows that she's in for a serious conversation, so she's still Rinna, but serious version. She's like, how are you? Instead of, how are you?
Yeah, where she's sort of leaning forward and her hands just always seem to be clasped, like up sort of clasped or near her chin at all times.
And she's just
I'm not sure if she had a jacket around her shoulders, but she was giving jacket on her shoulders energy, you know?
Yeah. Like, she just nods the entire time. So it looks like she's agreeing with you, even though she's calling you a stupid bitch.
Yeah. So Denise is like, you know what? It hurt my feelings when you called me a hypocrite in front of everyone. So we're going back to Santa Barbara here. Now, I have to say, I've been on Denise's side about all of this. I've been like, ladies, she just said, please. She basically said, don't talk about this in front of the kids. They did it anyway. And then she was like, well, then it turns out my kid heard it and it annoyed me. So, and then they were like, sorry. And then she's like, it's fine. I just won't bring you guys around my kids anymore. And they turned into a whole thing. But that being said, I still don't think that what Rinna said to Denise is like worthy of Denise being like, oh, wow, now I know where I stand. I got to throw out this whole friendship. I think Rinna is confused and was like, why is it that you can talk about happy endings? They feel sort of hypocritical, you know? I can understand why Denise is annoyed, but I think Denise is now starting to veer into being
Why she's annoyed. Because she said her piece. I don't like you to talk about it in front of my kids. They continued to do it. Then they continued to hound on it. Then she said, it's over. It's fine. Then everywhere she goes, they all attack her in a big group about it. Mm-hmm. And Lisa Rinna is supposed to be her friend. And she's like leading everybody on and getting everybody on that side and calling her a hypocrite and a liar. Okay. And like slut shaming her and doing all this other shit. So I'm still Team Denise. Fuck these girls.
No, mean. You convinced me. See? We can.
I rest my face.
No, I knew it'd be an easy case, but I was starting to be like, why is she doing this? But the truth is that Garcelle has actually been a better friend to Denise during this season than Rinna has been a little bit. Mainly, yes. So anyway, skinny fries.
So Rinna's like, but where's the line? Where's the line that we can be ourselves and talk to you and be open? And she's like, I'm very open. It's just got a line with my kids. There's an adult life, my life, dildo life, you know, happy ending. They're all different lives, all right? She goes, of course. I mean, you've been very honest with everyone about how big your husband's penis is, Denise. And she's like, yeah, but not with my kids. And she's like, okay, but
that being said, if you had never said anything to anyone else and kept it between you and your daughter, none of this would be happening, Denise. I'm like, Rinna, didn't you just tell her? Like, aren't you like trying to get her to be open and now you're shaming her for sharing with you? Isn't that like the whole, that's like her whole basis is like that she doesn't share. And now she's like, well, since you shared with us, you've caused this problem. I guess, you know what it is? I think I know what it is that's annoying me a little bit about Denise right now is she is... Like, when she's like, I'm not annoyed. I don't care. I'm like, well, obviously you do, Denise. Okay. So, like, that is where I'm trying to get annoyed with Denise. I think I was misplacing my annoyance with Denise. And that's what it is. Because, like, they have stormed out
from two things, justifiably or not, but they have. And then she acts like she hasn't. I'm like, okay, Denise.
Yeah, or her excuses where she's like, there was paparazzi, or he deals with cancer. Yeah.
Like, she has a little bit of bullshit on her side, too, you know, even though I agree with her on a macro level.
Yeah, no, she does. So Rena's like, well, listen, I just need you to take some kind of responsibility, Denise. Admit that you used your children and brought the kids into it. Like, God. So she's like, you know, the Denise I know, she's open. She's honest. I mean, I am who I am. Take it or leave it, baby. And all of a sudden she's offended about some threesome conversation and she's using her kids as the course of it. It's like, I don't know what that means, but.
Yeah, I don't feel like she's, like, using her kids. I think Denise was generally annoyed with the women, and she told them to stop. They didn't stop. And she's like, well, now look what happened. That's basically what she's saying. Now look what happened, and I'm not going to bring you around the kids. But then when Rinna's basically like, you know, it's funny because you seem to be such an open person, open book, so the fact that you're really annoyed by this, it doesn't seem to, like, ring true with who I know. And Denise is like, no, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. And that's where it's like, no, Denise, you're clearly bothered. You're like, look at your face right now. You have a frown on. You are clearly bothered, you know?
And she's like, well, if I was pissed, I'd say something, you know? If you know me, you know that. And she's like, so, yeah, so that's why I'm like, what's going on? Because your energy is not matching what you're saying, okay? I feel like you're very hostile and angry about this, and I felt it on Saturday night. I mean, why aren't you being honest with Kyle and just saying, I don't like you, Kyle? And she's like, but I do like Kyle. She's like, are you kidding me?
And then we have my favorite type of montage of Denise just, like, talking shit about Kyle. And I am a little upset that Denise did walk that back a little bit in this scene. I'm like, Denise, I need you to say, okay, fine, I don't like Kyle. I really need that from you right now.
But they also took that car conversation and cut it all together and made it look like it was all these different days when it was that one conversation where she's pissed at Kyle, you know?
Yeah.
I shit talk people all the time. Do I have to walk up to them every time I'm annoyed and go, I don't like you? I mean,
yeah, that's true too.
You know, come on, Rinna. And especially Rinna, who every time she's caught doing anything is like, what? I don't remember that.
I don't remember seeing that.
No.
So Rinna's like, you know what? These girls can be rough, and I'm one of them. But they don't usually just come at someone. Something had to have been said, you know, to create that 30 seconds. So basically now she's gaslighting Denise,
and
which
also,
is kind of rude.
Rinna is the queen of just going for people in 2 seconds when she's in the mood. Yeah. Like, hey, I have a question, Dorit. Were people doing coke in your bathroom? Like, that came out of nowhere. That whole time she just showed up ready to swing, you know?
Well, it's funny because she's gaslighting Denise, and yet at the same time, Aaron has been a dick. So it's kind of like, yes, he was a dick, but she's also making it seem, I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing. I kind of don't even know.
He was a dick at that party for sure when he was like, oh, can you even look at yourself in the mirror? Like, you know, sometimes it's better to just be, like, he was a total fucking asshole. But at this party, he just stood there while Denise went to the bathroom and they kept saying, we're going to wait for Denise. And they came for him at that.
Martin. Yeah, I mean, but he still is condescending because I liked the way Erica broached it. She was like, you kind of let us have it there. She was basically saying, like, that wasn't cool, but she was saying actually in a very friendly tone. I thought her tone was pitch perfect, and he was still just like a dick. But admittedly, they could have also not talked about it. Erica did not have to bring it up at that moment.
Yeah, because that's what they do. You know, they bring it up, and then he responds, and it's like, oh, what, are you going to hit me? What, are you going to hit me now? What, you big tough guy? You're going to abuse a woman? It's like, oh, okay. I'm sure he was going to punch you. Fucking crazy people.
Well, he is still an asshole. But right now, so it's like this mishmash of craziness going on.
I can't believe this stupid show has us talking this long about this shit, honestly. Like, this deeply about it. It's like, we're 31 minutes in, and we're like, wait a second. We need to talk
moral
about
ambiguities. So Denise is like, listen, I just didn't want to be there. But, you know, there was the paparazzi, Big Pharma, there was those clowns. I didn't want to be there at Sutton's event any longer.
And Rinna makes the point to us that, you know, she knows that Denise has gone through hell with Charlie, but, you know your kids watch television and saw you talking about Aaron having a happy ending, so what's the big deal, you know? And she says that she thinks Denise is using the show
and you know, this is breaking the fourth wall, where she's like, yeah. I think Denise may be using the show to change her image from last season. But guess what? This show is about showing how we feel, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's also about molding your image and your brand and everything else. Yes. And who are you to, I mean, get out of here with that.
This show's just about, you know, it's about sharing your feelings. Sharing your feelings. She should never have shared about her kids. She should never have shared about her kids. But it's about sharing who you are and being open and honest. But Denise, you were too open and honest about your kids. Why did you do that? Not on this show. Because this show's about being open.
Like, what? So she's like, well, where do we go from here? Because I think you need to look at it as a lesson learned. And Denise is like, oh, I learned a lesson. That's for
I learned.
Sure.
Big lesson, big, huge lesson, which is that Big Pharma loves a boutique sale. Okay, that's what I learned at Sutton's. Stay away from boutiques, Big Pharma goes.
And she's like, yeah, my lesson learned is I know where I stand with Lisa Rinna, and I can't trust her. So then it's awkward ending. So then Kyle is setting up her party in her terrible line of fashion. And yeah. Glenn's back.
Yay, Glenn. We were worried because there were a few parties without Glenn, but Glenn has returned. He's safely on a couch, and they're putting together, this is going to be a big, big, big party. Oh, doorbell's ringing. Who's at my door? Well, I guess we'll find out in the future. But so there's a big party, and of course Kyle is stressing because if she doesn't stress about parties, she has to face the emptiness of her life. So she's like whirring around, like, Glenn, is this gonna be ready? Oh, what with the chandelier? Oh my god, a tent! Oh my god, gravity! What happens if we stop having gravity? Are we all gonna fall against the ceiling of the tent? What happens, Glenn?
Glenn, what is that? Is that supposed to be the dance floor? It's so small. He's like, that's the stage. Oh, why are people supposed to get up to the stage? There's no stairs up to the stage. Are they supposed to get up? Kyle, stop pretending that you do anything. Okay, you call a bunch of people to do shit, and then you run down here 10 minutes before the party and start yelling at everybody. Get the fuck upstairs and take care of those bangs. Okay.
Yeah. She's like, I couldn't sleep last night. Why? Because you realize you invested a lot of money into a shitty, shitty fashion line. Why? So then they put out the stage, and basically it's her foyer. It's just a giant black and white checkerboard, which seems more appropriate for a dance floor than for her foyer. But anyway, so then Dorit shows up, and Dorit is there, and Faye Resnick, and you know, life is good. Talking about the Macbeth witches. There they are.
Yeah. And she's like, well, there's a lot of weird situations coming up. For example, Camille's coming. And Dorit's like, well, I knew it was fire season, but I didn't know the snakes were coming out as well. It's like, good one, Dorit.
Zing, guys. Zing. Zing.
A zing.
A zing a zing ah, guys.
Zinga de Zinga, my new restaurant.
Zinga de Zinga.
Carol's like, she really wants to make it right, okay? And then we get a clip of Camille telling Kyle, you know, I really don't like what I said about what's her name? Dorit? That one. I mean, I didn't really like what I said about that girl.
So Dorit has basically close the door to any friendship with Camille. She's too many lines have been crossed. There's no future.
And by that, she means Camille telling her that she knows she's a scam artist and she knows someone that her family has scammed. Dorit's that kind of person to get mad when she gets a check at the end of dinner. Like, how dare you try to send me private notes while I'm trying to eat? I'm out of here!
We actually, they didn't show us the full scene of Dorit finding out that Camille was coming. We actually, though, do have audio that was leaked to us about Dorit discovering that Camille is going to be at the party. Are you ready to hear it?
Yeah.
Young ladies!
Yeah! Young ladies!
Oh, it's you!
For those of you who couldn't hear it on the video. So, she's like, you know, so the auction items, it's going to be silent. Let's hope so. Camille, I didn't know it was Zynga time. Snake season, Camille. Girl's like, yeah, you know, no one has ever hooked me up like Dorit. And then we see a clip of all the things Dorit got for free. I mean, Kyle's usually the queen on this show of getting shit for free. But Dorit got everything for the silent auction. She's really good.
I feel like the moment Kyle got those bangs, people stopped giving her things. Like, sorry, we can't give you that ski trip this year. Sorry.
I can't be the only person shocked that Dorit is the one who found out to get, who found out how to get the most free shit on this show.
So, yeah. So then Kyle's like, I wonder if Denise is going to come. Do you guys maybe want to talk some shit about her at all? Maybe you guys want to do that? Because I'm all about honesty. I'm not two-faced at all. But, like, maybe we can talk some shit. So Dorit's basically, like, they're basically talking about how Denise is always running away. And she just won't deal with anything, you know? And Kyle's like, yeah, she's really avoiding confrontation. I'm like, or maybe she's just, like, sick of talking about this because you accused her of being of mommy shaming, and it's just so ridiculous that she has just bigger fish and bigger dicks to fry.
Well, this was last season too with Vanderpump. She's like, why do you keep running? Or the season before with her, why do you always run away? Because you won't shut up. Okay, you won't shut up. It's and you have either put bangs. Tape on your mouth or walk away. My God.
Honestly, if I saw Kyle Richards in her bangs dressed fully like an old-timey clown, which is basically what her fashion line looks like, I too would just walk away, just on principle.
Yeah. So now we're in Mar Vista. Garcelle has a meeting with her producing partner, Lisa, and they're going to talk about her new script that they've found a writer-director for, or a director for, yeah. She says.
Yeah, so basically, they're meeting with this director to hear her take. This director's trying to get a job. So they all sit down, and this director, this poor woman, I don't know what direction she was given for this meeting, but it clearly was not what was, well, it's not what Garcelle wanted or anyone. So this woman sits down with her laptop, and she's already like a little uncomfortable because this is being filmed, and she's like, okay, I guess I'll tell you my take on the story and how I reformulated it, and the music just goes. The old reformulations.
So she's been given a script, okay? So she's like, here's what I did to it. Okay, it's still got people named Christian and Lorraine, okay?
And Susie.
But in this one, Susie. But in this one, Christian's an axe murderer, and Lorraine's a hooker. And Christian loves cars and axes, but Lorraine likes bowling and hooking. So that, and Garcelle's like, what? And
Susie's
the
making
fuck?
Angel food cake, but it's not just any angel food cake. And we're just getting this montage. And that's when Lorraine says, I want to have a threesome with Susie. And then, so next, a go kart pulls up, and out comes Christian, and he's angry. He left his cookies at the store.
Yeah. And Garcelle's like, that's not our script, so I'm not really sure what that was about. She's like, well, you know, just it's my take. She's like, is it too different?
It was such a by the way, this is every Hollywood meeting. If anyone ever wants to come to Hollywood and get involved in the industry, prepare to have meetings like this when you've probably been told by the producers, we really like the script, but what we need is we sort of need a page one rewrite, so could you do that, and then you'll pitch it, but they don't tell Garcelle that's what she's doing. So Garcelle's like, I mean, I love the story, but I feel like it diverted from the script a lot, and that's an issue for me.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, I used to never argue with anybody. I mean, in acting class, when I had to be upset, I couldn't even do it. I had to learn how to use the powers. But now that I've learned to use my voice, you can't shut me up.
Which was funny that they were trying to turn this scene into some sort of like Garcelle empowerment scene of her like politely rejecting this woman. I kind of feel like if she really had her voice, she would say, this is shit. Get out of here.
Yeah. I gave you a script and you rewrote the whole fucking thing. That's not what we asked you to do. Get out, idiot.
By the way, I think Lena's story sounds amazing. There was like a threesome. There was murder. There was all stuff. I want to hear. I want to see Lena's story.
It's just wild things. She's like, you do know basically. Denise, right?
Well, I tried to pitch it to Denise, but she just left the room. That's what she does. Am I right, director?
Always Am I right? So Kyle is at her house getting hair and makeup by somebody who's obviously new. Because she's like, tonight's a black and white theme, or black or white. I mean, depending on what's sexier. So should I wear my black sexy dress or the sexy tuxedo from my line? And he's like, do I have to talk to her?
She's like, you're supposed to say black tuxedo. As soon as she said that, Should I wear a long white sexy dress or a black tuxedo suit for my line? I was like, oh, don't do the tuxedo. Don't do the tuxedo. Don't do a cow. Oh, she did the tuxedo, and it's worse than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah. Do the Lorna Luft look. That's what he said.
Do the like hostess at a dinner theater in rural Tennessee look. Do that one, Kyle.
So we know it's about to be an Erica scene because from across town we just hear,
yes, bitch!
We need a soft dry for the baby hairs.
And her makeup guy, Clyde, is like, oh my God, your hair, it's so strong, Erica. You've got the strongest hair.
This might hurt, but beauty is pain, bitch. Beauty is pain.
And I'm still convinced that these guys go home and they're like, bruh, could you believe that bitch fell for it again?
Bruh, it was crazy. So then PK and Dorita are at home. PK is like, baby, I love these shoes you bought me. I'll leave it to you from now on. I'm going to let you do all the things. Next step, turn on that Vitamix. You know how to do that.
I'm so terribly sorry, PK. It has an on-off button, and I'm afraid that's a little bit too much for me.
He's like, yeah, you should just dress me from now on, babe. And I was like, yeah, she did a great job. She's in a fucking diamond flapper dress, like dressed to the nines, and you're in jeans. So,
yeah.
Typical. Men are so lucky. God, we're so lucky to be men, really.
We are. God.
You know how I dress up? Some Old Navy really, baggy-ass jeans and like a button-down shirt. That's me dressed up. That's it.
Are we really lucky, Ronnie? I mean, we are kind of like the number one most discriminated against group in the United States right now.
No. Babe, those are straight men.
Oh, thank you.
Straight white men are the most discriminated against.
So, anyway, so then, yeah, basically, Dorit's like, PK, Aaron's gotten himself into a little bit of a sticky situation with the girls. Maybe we can have a talk with him a little bit. And then we see a montage of Aaron's greatest hits from the past 2 weeks of him being like, let this fucking go. It's ridiculous. Why are we nitpicking on people? Keep poking the bear.
Yeah.
Just love his softcore porn voice.
Yeah. You've got a clogged pipe.
Yeah.
I work with cancer.
I radiated this pizza with metal.
Holistic porn. Put your hand in this 95-degree hole.
I'm going to line your chakras in your vagina.
So Dorit's like, tonight what you should do is you say, Aaron, come over here, my buddy, my bruh. And then you pat him on the head, and then you touch his muscular boobies, and then you tell me what it's like later. And you say, now listen, things can get tricky if you're talking down to a group full of women, Aaron. Right? But everybody goes to PK for advice, okay?
Yeah, exactly. People love it when PK like sidles up to you at a party and says, now let me tell you something about how to handle women, okay? Babe. I'm not your babe. You're my babe right now.
All right, babe. He's like, you know what he needs to do is support his wife by not fighting with her friends. You know, it's different watching your wife being an innocent victim. I was pleased with myself until I saw myself later. PK, cut it out. You did this shit for 2 seasons.
Yeah. So then we go to a car, and it's Lisa and Erica, and they're riding along to the party with Eileen Davidson. Nice little surprise for me. I love me some Eileen, and she has brown hair now. And, you know, as we know from this show, if you have a hair change, one must blame it on the industry. So she's like, well, I'm doing a fabulous new indie film, which is why I'm a brunette. It's a really sweet Christmas movie, but it's not a Hallmark. No.
Everyone is like,
it's for QVC's new line of scripted material. It's gonna be great. I love
QVC. Denise just did one of those. She says, well, what's up with Denise? And she's like, oh, well, you know, Aaron, he started speaking down to the women. She goes, well, you know how I feel about that. Speaking down to the women. It's just like bullying. It's bullying is what it is.
I guess Christmas is canceled after all. Sorry, that was from the film. Just preparing. It's going to be a gritty movie with me and Christy McNichol and Dinah Manoff. It's a little bit of like an Empty Nest reunion, too. Mm. A lot of stuff happening.
So back in another car, it's Denise and Aaron, and he's like,
Is it good I'm coming? Are you sure? Can I look myself in the face this morning? I can. And she's like, yeah, it's just good you're coming. Am I throwing you in the lion's den, honey? And he's like, I can hold my own. She goes, yes, you can.
And then Erica is talking about how she's like, you know, I still like Denise and Aaron. I just don't know where all this weird energy is coming from. It's almost like they're acting like we're nagging them over the same stupid point over and over again. It's weird, you know?
How many times will I have to apologize? See, this is how they twist things on this show. She's not asking you to apologize again. She never went after you for this, okay? She was just saying, she said it a couple of lunches to people that she didn't like the stuff around her kids. And you guys are the ones who keep this going. Denise isn't sitting around mad at you waiting for an apology. She's so full of it.
Well, as I was saying to the incomparable Park Overall, who's playing the role of Mrs. Claus in the independent Christmas film I'm shooting... Is it really Christmas if it doesn't snow? Thank you. Thank you, Denise. Thank you.
Like, I'm not looking to say hello to Aaron. Listen, I've got a really smart man at home, and I'm over being mansplained too, honey.
So then Denise is back in Denise's car. She says, you know what? If these women are willing to have a two-way conversation and hearing me out without maybe some bangs in the way, I'll be there all night to talk with them, okay? And then Aaron goes... It's not a full moon, is it?
She's like, I don't know. I've been wondering that the past 8 times we've seen them.
He goes, we should check stat. Then it just goes to commercial. Like, while he's, like, checking, like, his phone, you know. If you can trust the phones anymore these days, am I right?
Mm. So back at the party, Kyle's still freaking out because Mauricio can't get the blue light on in the pool. He's like, I've been trying for 2.5 hours, babe, okay? He's like, who do I call, Maury?
Ghostbusters.
Kyle is so the fussy wife in the rom-com who gets left by the hot guy for the down-home country girl right now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all angry about the party. Mauricio, Mo, we can't find the blue light for the pool. We can't find the blue light for the pool. This is why we shouldn't have technology. What happened the days we could just turn it on and off, on and off. I miss my lima bean-shaped pool. There, I said it.
And then Portia, she's like, Mom, are you going to help me with my hair? Can you just please do the bun we do for school? The ugly bun? It's like, yes, please, I can't do everything, goddamn.
It's not just the bun for school. She goes, do that little bun that we do when we drive to school and we're like twins, you know? The bun that you do that makes me look younger, please.
The ugly bun? That's even better that that's the ugly bun.
I like, yeah, Kyle's version of twinning is ugly for Portia. So guests start showing up, and Mauricio's still in his t-shirt, so Kyle's losing her mind over that. And then she, of course, drifts over to her silent auction space, and there's, like, some jewelry there, and she wants Mauricio to bid on it, of course. So, Kyle.
So then Camille comes, and I noticed this party was very sir. It's like, oh.
Very sir.
Yeah, I was like, wow,
pink neon in the foyer.
Pink and purple lighting. Everywhere you look. Interesting.
Wow, this looks great. What a beautiful party. I'm just so glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. You're glad to be here?
Yeah, it's glad, so I'm glad to be here. It's so good to be here.
Well, look, there's a silent auction over there.
There's a silent auction.
Yeah. And you can check things out for the silent auction.
Check it out. I hope I can win. Yeah. But if I don't, it'd be so upsetting.
All right. Kyle just kind of rips something off from everybody's soul, you know. She's got the pink cursive lighting like Erica's. It's like, touch my pulse, you badass bitch, or whatever it says.
It did. I thought it was like a donation from Erica at first.
Maybe it was.
It's like the cute the cute disorder instead of the pretty mess. That's what Kyle's calling herself. Cute disorder.
So Camille's like, what are the drinks for tonight? I'll try the Harvest Moon. Just a little alcohol, not a lot of alcohol, just a little.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know that when Aaron sees that cocktail, he's going to freak out. Is this a full Harvest Moon? I need to know stat.
So Kraus, like, are you nervous to see the girls? And then Dorit and PK arrive, and PK reads the sign. He's like, pet my puss, badass bitch. All right.
Sounds good, babe. Sounds good. They have potato chips here. Doing Australian, I don't care. So Dorit and Dorit and PK arrive. Estella, Mauricio's mom, shows up. And guess what? The pool light's working. And Kyle's like, it's on! It's on! The pool light's on! I'm like, Kyle, you need to really reevaluate your priorities in life right now.
Yeah. So Eileen and Rinna come, and they're looking over the auction stuff. And they're talking about stem cell... Who cares, really? And Kyle's like, oh, by the way, speaking of stem cells, Camille's here. I mean, whoa, you guys are so quiet. Talk about quieting a room, huh?
Well, there was also that wonderful scene of Dorit walking up and, like, seeing Camille and then, like, turning around and just totally avoiding Camille. And then she goes up to Kimber and she's like, guys, Kimber. Hi, Kimber. How are you doing, Kimber? Mm-hmm. You been to Buco de Beppo lately? Good. So good to see you, Kimber.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle is... One of her silent auction things is her godson's fur coat that says fake fur. And Dorit's like, well, I know who to give that to.
Camille! I also, one of the gifts were 4 VIP passes to Coachella. And I'm already just like cringing. Thank God Coachella was postponed this year for many reasons. You know, my social media feeds, thank Coachella for postponing itself, but also like thank God it was postponed, because you know that 4 people from this party were not going to give these passes to their kids. They were going to go, and it would have been like Paul Nassif and his wife, and like Heather Dubrow and Terry Dubrow at Coachella, yeah. Just being awful.
Yeah. So they keep cutting to Kyle and Kimber sitting there just eating. And no one will talk to them. And Cam's just like, wow, isn't this pretty? It's so pretty. Yeah, it's really pretty. Isn't it pretty? This is, whoa, look at this. It's something on a stick. Isn't this food pretty? What pretty food? That's so pretty.
I wonder where the seals are.
So Rinna goes outside with Eileen. And Eileen's like, well, are you on good terms with Camille? She's like, good question.
Well, I mean, they know we're talking about them. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious. We might as well just talk to them right now. She's like, okay, let's go over to them. So they, like, walk over to Camille and Kimber. And Kimber hugs Eileen. Hi, how are you? Merry Christmas. That's from my movie. Thank you.
And Rinna's like, I mean, I know you. So I can't just stand here and pretend I don't know you. I know you. Hello. Hello, Camille. How are you? You know what, Camille? You're an asshole on Twitter. Okay. I will say that. I mean, it's nice to see you. Okay. I don't need a beef with you, but you're an asshole on Twitter.
Camille's like,
I didn't like it. I didn't like the comment about trash. I didn't like the comment about the coven of witches. Didn't like it.
Well, I have to be honest with you. You girls were like really nasty to me. So, you know, in the words of Brett Kavanaugh, one of the great leaders of the Supreme Court. It was in my calendar to release those tweets. It wasn't my fault. It was in my calendar.
And Rinna's like, well, you didn't have to do it in such a public way, Camille. It was so public, Camille. And she's like, well, I was dishing out what I got, Lisa Rinna. What about that? I was dishing it out.
Dishing it out. I don't know if you ever heard of that crazy play called Macbeth or whatever it's called. You know, it's like what they say, you know. Something wicked this way comes. And then like goes, you, basically.
Because Camille's like really angry now. You know, Camille goes from being to how could you? So she's all mad, and then it cuts to Eileen's face going,
oh, you beast.
A disgusted Eileen face.
Eileen's like, remember that season where I spent half of it off camera because I just had a constant stream of diarrhea? Oh
good God. So Camille's like, I don't like a lot of the stuff you did last year, so what do you think of that, girlfriend? And just like snaps in her face.
Yeah. Basically Rinna's like, well, I'm not going to rehash it, but we're good. Well, obviously we're not, because you're here. There's not even a seal anywhere to be found, and can't even have my country fair sleeves, so, you know, obviously we're not. I mean, just did call me an asshole. It's not a great hello. I think I'll pass. Thank you.
I'm just like, okay, we're done. We're dead. Bye, Camille. We're dead. So she storms off and immediately runs inside like, guess what? I just yelled to Camille. It's like Rena only does things to get approval from other people. Like last week when she yelled it or got into it with, she didn't even get into it with Denise. And then she runs in. She's like, well, guess what? They're going to a strip club with steaks.
And Camille goes, well, I guess if you don't want to talk about me, then no, I guess I'll just have to tweet about this later. Yeah, zing, zing, zing. I'm still swirling from when I did the Macbeth cauldron thing. Yeah, it's momentum. Yeah, zing.
So Rinna tells us, much like Denise, Camille is another person who doesn't take responsibility for their own bad behavior.
So then Garcelle shows up with a guy named Michael who's pretty hot. And she's like, there's something about the name Michael that I'm like doing Rena laugh with Garcelle. It's weird. But she's like, there's something about Michael that I must love that name because my ex was named Michael, but he was white Michael and this is chocolate Michael. And this guy's also a lot hotter. So.
And PK's like, so are you dating, babe? And there's a really long pause. She just looks at him and then she starts laughing. He's like, sorry, am I? And the guy's like, it's only been 8 days, okay? Slow down there.
Yeah. So then Sutton shows up and then Adrian Maloof is there. She's like, hey, everyone,
hey,
I got
guys.
Good appetizers inside. Yeah. Don't miss the appetizers on the inside. Huh?
Yeah, great setup. Huh? What'd this run you? Huh?
Hey, you guys mind if I let Jackpot run around in the back? I brought him. Jackpot!
And we find out that Paul is friends with Adrian now. They're all friendly with each other. And he's brought his new wife, Brittany. And she's like, you look gorgeous, Brittany. And she goes, oh, thank you. I like your makeup. He's like, I didn't do it, but thanks.
I'll destroy you. Shut the fuck up and get out of my face. I've been nice. I gave you 5 seconds of being nice. Okay, going back to the dip.
And then, Chris Kardashian Jenner. And Large Marge.
Also known as Kathy. Kathy shows up.
Like the most terrifying sister out of the three. Large Marge shows up.
I love that Kathy's going to show up with Chris. She's like, I'm going to align myself with the wealthiest person at this party. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they're all friends. Chris Kardashian, Faye, Kyle, and Large Marge.
It's a whole thing. So basically, they come in. There's all these hugs and kisses. And Chris and Kathy are like laughing and hugging high as if they didn't just walk in together. And Kyle's like, guys, check it out. This is my line. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? My tuxedo suit, guys. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? And they're like, just like fully ignoring her. And then finally, Chris is like, oh, no, it's good. It's good. It's good. I'm sure it'll sell really well at Kohl's discount corner.
She's like, we all need this, Kyle. We all need this.
We all need this look. Because, you know, when you have a spill, you need something to sop it up. Am I right? It's great rag material. Great, great, great. I got to call my friend at Filene's basement. Put you in touch with her.
So then it's silence, and we see these terrible shoes clunk out of a car, and then two terrible heads of bad plastic hair. I think Brandy's home.
Brandy is here, so she walks in, and she's like, oh, I feel nervous, I don't know why. I think I know why. It's because she probably was invited to this party to spill some tea about Denise.
Of course. Why do you think Kyle is talking to Brandy, everybody? You don't think that Kyle has been planning on using Brandy against Denise this entire fucking season?
And Kyle has this bullshit excuse. She's like, you know, Brandy and I haven't always gotten along, but then she posted a video of herself crying, and we see this video. I couldn't even understand what Brandy was saying. She's like, oh, my chest.
Was that video. Brandy posted a video crying because people were being mean to her or something on Twitter, and she's like, I mean, it's hard for me, you guys. I mean, all of my friends with their perfect husbands and their children full time, and I just don't have that, and it's really hard.
And Kyle's like, it just broke my heart, and I realized Brandy's a good person. I think she's very misunderstood. Also, I want to weaponize her right now.
Yes. Yeah. I love splitting atoms suddenly. I mean, you know what? They're just look, Adam was misunderstood. Now let's split him. You know?
Yeah. By the way, I also want to mention, since I have been bringing up the seals quite a bit, that Faye Resnick, I don't know if you caught her at this party, but she was actually wearing a seal bow tie. Like the little ties that they put on circus seals. She just had one on right under her neck. It was adorable. I was like, that's perfect.
So Brandy, of course, sees Kyle and goes, "Oh, you have bangs? I didn't know. I didn't even know.
I just assumed you were part of the help.
I didn't even know you had bangs."
So, how did Brandy not know? Kyle has done nothing but make excuses for her bangs while continuing to wear them nonstop all season long.
So then
they're like talking about that Dorit's dropping beads everywhere around the silent auction, which is great. If there's going to be another burglar who tries to break into this house, we know what's going to happen to them. Oops, they fell on their butt because they slipped on beads.
So Kyle picks up the mic and she's like, "Okay, everybody, make your way over to the tent." And Mauricio takes the mic, but she's turned it off. And he's like,
"Don't be shy about those beads."
Like, she's already turned off the mic, Mauricio. I'm sorry. I'm sure this is like your entire marriage. Okay, you can't be too surprised at this point.
Just wanted to remind everyone that if there's something strange in the bitter hood, who you gonna call? Auction busters. Get it, Kyle? Get it?
So Maury's like, "All right, let's bid." So Kim is there too, just kind of stumbling around. She's like, "Hey, Kyle!" Bobbling up to Kyle. Like, "Kyle!
Kyle. And Kyle is so condescending. Now, this is the side of Kyle that I like. Okay, when she just look, Kim is just wearing some sort of like weird black, like weird interpretation of what Kyle is wearing. Clearly, like Kyle clearly instructed Kim what to wear over FaceTime. And Kyle's like, "Oh, Kim, you totally pulled it together. You look gorgeous. You look gorgeous. You just, you know, it's like a big pile of fabric draped around your neck. You did it."
She's like, "Thank you. Is that mic for me?" She's like, "No, Kim." So then Aaron and
there was
Denise
an invisible
arrive.
Man in the bed. What's going on? Mauricio said something about an invisible man in the bed. Is everything okay? Oh, no, Kyle, Kim, it's okay.
So Aaron and Denise arrive, and Denise is like, "Oh, all right, there's Garcelle over there." But they look really nervous, just looking around, because no one's being like, "Hey, Denise. Hi, Denise. Come over here."
Yeah.
She's like, "Should I sit with them? What's going on? Are there paparazzi here?"
Yeah, and basically we see Rinna's like not going up to Denise because she doesn't feel like Denise is being very honest with her. And then we see a scene of Rinna talking to Sutton the day before and about how Rinna's like, "She keeps talking about all the paparazzi and all the paparazzi at your party and everything." And they're like, Sutton's like, "There was no paparazzi, believe me. I tried to get them to come and they did not care about me at all." And we just see like a montage of Denise. Like, "Ah, it's paparazzi. Oh, paparazzi, paparazzi, paparazzi." Yeah. "Look, Lady Gaga even sees them. Paparazzi."
Yeah. And so Denise is like, "Well, where do we sit?" And Aaron says, "Well, that's a very solid front over there." She's like, "Yeah, God." So Kyle's like, hey. And she says, "You know when you get on a plane and you have to eyeball where the exits are? That's what Denise is when she comes to do a party." She's just looking like, "Where do I go? Where do I escape?"
Well, it's a terrifying party with like a lot of strange faces. And let's not also forget that like moments after that, Adrian Malouf comes up to hug Denise. And Adrian is like everyone's like, it's like everyone's grandma's cousin, right? So like you're at a party and you're like, "Uh-oh, here comes Aunt Rose, who I don't remember how she's related to me, but she's coming." He's like, "Give me a hug, Denise. Come on. Give me a hug. And like Denise is like trying to hug her. And then Brandy comes up to give Denise a hug. And so Denise is like she's like torn and she's like trying to hug Brandy. But like Adrian keeps like, "Come on, give me the hug, Denise."
So Brandy is squealing basically at every, Brandy's just so excited to be back on TV. She's like, hi. And she's like, "Come on, Denise, you got to sit with the girls, Denise." So she brings her over, and Denise's like, "Well, hello, everyone. You all look beautiful." Brandy's like, "Sit right here. Sit right in the middle."
Yeah. And then Kyle gets on stage with Mauricio. They look like they're either about to start some sort of, like, televangelism program or just, like, a timeshare, you know, con up on that stage.
Yes, like lit from behind, like the finale of American Idol or some shit. And Rinna sees Kim and she goes, "Oh, hi, Kim. How are you, Kim?"
Yeah. Meanwhile, PK has like cornered Aaron. He's like, "So, babe, I hear you've gotten a little involved in a little bit of drama here with the girls,
not
right?"
Really.
Like, not really. Like, no. "But a little bit. A little bit. Wouldn't you say a little bit? A little bit."
Buco de Beppo.
Steady. I'd say it's steady and it's comfortable. It's all good. It's steady and comfortable. That's what it is.
But babe, wouldn't you say, if let's say you were a big plate of pasta, babe, would you say that maybe you're like a little meatball in the pasta of drama? Would you say that, babe?
I'd say that mice fit in holes because the sun shines on the ground and twigs snap. That's what I'd say.
All right, babe, I'm going to step away and go back to the buffet. They've got some potato chips over there.
And it is nice to see that Aaron's not just a condescending moron to just women. He's like that with PK, too. He's like, what the fuck are you talking to me?
Yeah.
He's basically. Like, you don't really want to get involved in the drama, you know? You don't want to. He's like, not really. And he goes, a little bit, do you a little bit? Steady. It's like, what are you even talking about?
I know. And then meanwhile, over at the auction, so this auction's going on. There's like some sort of golf getaway package. So Dorit buys it, whether she bids on it and wins it for $17,000. And then the auctioneer's like, all right, can we get just a donation, a $25,000 donation? And of course, Kris Jenner is not going to let Dorit be the one who does the high ticket item. She's like, $25,000. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You do not get to upstage me, Dorit. I am Kris Jenner.
And Garcelle gets a sweet vacation, too. She gets the cheapest thing. She gets, like, a trip to Mexico for $5,000. She got out of there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she won. She won the biggest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Then Aaron and PK are still talking. And PK is like, you know, you don't want to get into it with each of them, all right? You just want to support your wife. Now, listen, there's an old saying. If they climb up a tree, you want to come down the tree, not make them climb up the tree more.
Yes, but there's also another saying that if the tree is built like an oak and has a big dick, you're entitled to fuck a famous person. So
he just says, I agree. And PK's like, all right, are you going to put that into action? Put what into action? Not climbing further up a tree? What the fuck are you talking about? And he goes, like, what? What'd I do? Listen, if someone asks you a question, you answer the question.
I just really enjoy PK giving advice on knowing to just, like, hold back and not interfere. I love that, like, the act of giving that advice is an interference in its own way. Right?
Yeah. And PK's like, oh, so it's like that? And he goes, literally. What? I don't know what the fuck they were talking about. I don't know what they're talking about, but I refuse to rewind at this point. I'm not even going to bother.
The key is Aaron. What you don't want to do is you don't want to butt in on something that you're not involved in. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't ever want to, like, it'd be like going up to someone that you have really not much of a relationship with, and you just start saying things to them that you're not really related to. You don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying, Aaron?
So then we see Brandy talking to Denise, and Brandy's like, oh my God, you look super hot. Super, super hot. And Denise is like, oh, all right, so my boobs look good, you're saying? All right, well, they were expensive, so I guess they should, you know, do something.
So then Denise pulls Teddy aside, which is...
always pleasant. I think,
yeah, I mean, to voluntarily do that, wow. So Denise pulls Teddy aside, and she's like, so I wanted to talk to you because, you know, you're here. And, listen, I've been told you don't like it when I just, like, walk away at parties, you know? That's what I've been hearing. You don't like that, you know? So they're, like, just starting to hash things out. Teddy's like, well, it just happens a lot, you know? And hi, I'm Teddy. I don't know if you saw him in this episode, too. And, like, just as they're starting to, like, at least talk something out, Kyle, of course, is like, oh, my God, let me bring Camille over. Look, Camille, come on over here, Camille.
Denise is like, I just wanted to finish talking to that girl. I forgot her name. This one. She's related to a famous person. Right? No, we need to talk to Camille.
I think she's from the Jay Giles band, something like that. I don't know. I can't remember.
And Camille's doing that thing where she's like pouting with one eye closed and nodding like,
Hi,
Denise.
Congratulations on all your success, whatever it is. I don't really know what you do anymore. And Teddy, congratulations. You just look adorable. You look great. You finally look like that old photo of you again. You look great.
So she's like, what month are you? I guess Camille says that. What month are you? And she's like, I'm 6 weeks. I'm Teddy. Camille's like, you don't look 6 weeks.
Yeah, you look amazing. And Teddy's like, hi, I'm Teddy. And, like,
you don't have to go through these pleasantries with me. I know you hate me, okay? I know you hate me. You don't have to come to my retreat either, okay? I know it. I know it. It's like, okay, great. Thanks, Teddy.
I want to put a bet down for $20 that next week Teddy's going to be like, yeah, she came over to me and she criticized how small my baby was and said my baby's not even full formed. So...
Maybe. So, did you know, by the way, one thing I did not learn about until just today was that there was a complication with Teddy's baby, and the baby actually had to have neurosurgery.
No, I didn't know.
So, you know, I hope everything's okay with the baby. I mean, we make fun, and we don't like watching pregnancies.
Well, thanks
for
bringing that up. That's sure fine.
Well, we were talking about Teddy. I needed to bring it down. Hi, I'm Teddy. Bringing down the end of the episode.
Hope the baby's okay. Teddy sucks, but hope the baby's okay. So she's like, you know what? We don't even need to talk about it. Like, I just don't trust anything you have to say. She's like, okay. And Denise goes, so you just don't even want the compliment. Basically, she goes, I don't need it. I don't have to get anything off my chest.
I'm Teddy.
Okay. All right. Well, like, and then just like, go, then it's like, next week on Real Houses of Beverly Hills. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I guess that's our cliffhanger. Teddy doesn't want to receive a compliment. Will she receive one? We'll see.
And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, everybody. We will be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of New York, which will also be a Crappens on Demand. Actually, I think this week...
I think we're doing a bonus this week.
That's right. We're going to do our bonus this week, the Zac Efron show on Netflix. We're going to do that as a video this week.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We did that. And then, New York's just a regular one. So tune in for New York and then go listen to our Zac Efron Down to Earth, Bro bonus episode because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Lou, we'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
Bye.
Sometimes we don't appreciate the little things until they're taken away, like a walk. Not for any reason, not to any destination. We will take back the streets where we live, where we love. In Italy, we call this La Passeggiata, and we welcome the day when we'll walk again. Walk together with us, Peroni, Italia. Enjoy Peroni responsibly. Visit drinkaware.co.uk.